Please stand as you're able to do so. We do not know and cannot calculate the day of Christ's return.
We live faithfully in the here and now.
We anticipate the day when we will be given eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all of its people, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The first reading is from Zephaniah, the first chapter. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice, and he has consecrated his guest. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs. Those who say in their hearts, "The Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm." Their wealth shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter, and the warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distrust and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, The whole earth shall be consumed, for a full, a terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 90 responsively with me. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals.
For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterdays when it is past,
or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath, we are overwhelmed.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day, and we are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on our breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not to wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave, you have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents, for to all those who have more will be all who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. With that, just to let you know, I'm not preaching on the gospel today. 1 Thessalonians to finish up, but I feel like I should say that this is not like a, it's not to say, go invest all of your money, capitalism is great, invest all your money in the stock markets. Capitalism might be fine, but that's not what that's saying. It's saying, take your gifts and go use your gifts. So, that's my mini sermon. Now time for a really long sermon. I make no secret of my strong, very strong dislike of social media.
I look right at Kathy as I say, because
she always argues with me. Yes, Kathy, I know it allows us to communicate and connect with others in ways that would otherwise be thought impossible, right? I mean, through email and Facebook and YouTube, I ponder with you and communicate with you during the week. You get to hear from me an extra time throughout the week. Could anyone possibly think of a better use of social media? No, of course not. I can't think of one at all. So I must grudgingly admit that there are some benefits, Kathy, to social media. And I'm going to very, very quickly extol these virtues, but this will not happen often, so for the social media junkies among us, this is your moment. We can communicate with friends and family, both near and far, can we not? We can remain connected to communities and networks like, First Lutheran, for example. We can raise awareness for events and causes.
The rummage sale or Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving, for example. Thanksgiving you already know about, Friendsgiving. We can see that post and we can share it with our friends. We can seek or offer emotional support. However, I would argue that if you're close with someone, Facebook is not the best place to do that. You could probably reach out to them in other ways. It can be a place of connection and support for marginalized groups. It can be an outlet for creativity or self-expression. There's probably some other ones. You have any to add, Kathy? Did I do good? Yeah, me too. That's all I use it for. Now, social media lovers, your moment is over, and I'm going to elaborate on why I really don't like it. One, it separates us from real life, real human connection. It doesn't show the reality of our human existence, I don't think, very well. It's more of like a highlight reel. It shows the best of our lives. It shows just the happy moments. Some people. It shows the vacations, the outings with friends. It shows the dinners, the dinners where you snap the picture of, oh, look how nice my meal is. It shows those.
And we select only the best of the best pictures to share of those moments, right? And even then, when we pick the best moment to share, we pick the best picture to share, and then we send that best picture through an Insta filter. So we filter it one more time before we share it with the world. Kathy's like, you are not being fair right now. Well, guess what? But guess what? It's my sermon. I said that to Mike last week, and my brother yelled at me for it. And so what happens when we're looking at someone else's social media page? Our own lives start to look a little bit less than. Our own lives feel inadequate. Look at the trips that they take. Look at the great lives that they have. They have a great life. I want that life. When I take a selfie, why do I have 3 chins? Well, it's probably because I have 3 chins. And for me, as a 40-year-old married man, I'm not trying to impress anyone anymore. Sorry, Andrea. But to a teenager who is already, predisposed to low self-esteem because they're teenagers, this is dangerous, especially in a society that tells us that thin is beautiful, right? And then there is FOMO. I know there is someone sitting right there that can tell us what FOMO is, can't she? What is FOMO? Tell me. She knows that she's not going to say it. No, does anyone know what FOMO is?
Fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out. Now, don't worry if you didn't know what that was. I didn't learn about it until like 2 years ago when I met a bunch of people that were like 8 to 10 years younger than me. But fear of missing out is real. We see all of the things that all of these other people are doing. They're at the dinner or at the party, and we're not there, and we see all the pictures of the perfect plates of food and all of the friends, and no one has more than one chin because they took that picture from the right angle 18 times to make sure that only one chin was had. And it was the best day ever. It's the perfectly curated life. And then when I go to Facebook and I see it, I wonder, why didn't I get invited to go to the Taylor Swift concert? Didn't they know I'm a Swiftie? And that leads to isolation and loneliness and anxiety and depression. I wanted to go see Taylor Swift. And at this point, I hope you're wondering, what could this possibly have to do with a group of Thessalonian believers that lived halfway around the world 2,000 years ago? That's what you were thinking, right? Today we hear from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy as they close their letter to the Thessalonian believers. And in it, we find this extended metaphor that we can kind of understand and relate to, but also sort of not, because we live in this modern society. It hinges on the idea of light and day and darkness and night. Now, imagine it's 2,000 years ago. Are there streetlights? Are there lights on the side of your houses? No, there's lamps, if you have oil for them. It is dark, as in dark, dark. We rarely, if ever, experience dark, dark, do we? If we want dark, dark in our rooms at night, guess what we have to do? We have to go buy something that's literally called a room darkening shade. We must actively seek complete and total darkness. But the day of the Lord, we are told today, will come like a thief in the night, in the dark, dark, and surprise those who are sleeping. And I mean, that still tracks in today's society. We generally sleep at night, unless you work third shift or have trouble sleeping. And if you're going to rob someone, then it's generally going to happen at night. But unlike the Thessalonians, we have some protections against that, don't we? We have street lights. I have like 5 lights on the outside of my house that I keep on all night. I create some of that light pollution. We have, anybody have a Ring doorbell? You know what a Ring doorbell is? It's a doorbell that allows you to talk through it and take videos, right? So if a thief shows up in the middle of the night, you can just pick up your cell phone and be like, hey, you thief in the night, get off my porch. The Thessalonians, they couldn't do this. We can perhaps sleep a little more comfortably than these Thessalonians believers ever could have. We could be more comfortable in the night than they have been. But the metaphor gets a little tricky. Some read it to say that night, that darkness is bad. But it's not the night and the darkness that's bad. That isn't what's being said. What Paul and the others are saying is this: fear not, you are children. You Thessalonians are children of the day. And the thief does not come during the day. The thief does not come during the day because people are awake and are prepared should the thief show up. You, the children of the day, are awake and you are prepared. Again, darkness or evil isn't bad. The people of the darkness are not bad. They're not evil. But because it is dark, as in dark, dark, they cannot see the thief in the night coming. They do not have streetlights. They do not have Ring doorbells. And for that thief, the day, so the thief, mind you, is the day of the Lord. Those who live in darkness will be unprepared. And here Paul weaves in another metaphor that seems unrelated, but I think it's related, isn't it? He tells us how we of the day ought to clothe ourselves. Now, my clothing became a topic of discussion this morning because I didn't wear my robe. I like the green cincture. I think it looks good. Anyway, but how we clothe ourselves is important. Since we belong to the day, we are told, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We, you and me, the people of First Lutheran Church, we are people of the light, I would argue. And what we put on, it matters. It matters. We are people of the day, and how we prepare ourselves, how we remain vigilant, it matters. We faithfully wait for the return of Jesus Christ. We wait for the kingdom to come, just as the Thessalonian believers did. We pray for the kingdom to come, in fact. And in the meantime, we are called to live faithfully in the here and now, in the daytime. And how we clothe ourselves in this time of waiting matters. By clothing ourselves in the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation, we can bring light or we can bring darkness. We can bring light to those around us who live in the darkness. But not our light. Not our light. The light of Christ to those in the darkness. And in my view, social media is, or can be, a very dark place. But worse, I think it is a place of darkness that we pretend is a place of light. It's a place of make-believe. And through the best selfie angles and selecting only the best pictures and experiences to post, and of course the filters, which Kathy says she never uses. She never uses those Instagram filters. You should try it. When we do that, when we post these things, we cast a shadow, I think, on those who follow us. More darkness for them. We help create that dark place. We put on a fake version of ourselves, and I think we even start to convince ourselves that that social media persona is who we really are. And who needs the breastplate of faith and love when you have Instagram filters? Am I right? She's like, I'm not talking to you. And I know it sounds like I'm preaching against social media. Does it sound like I'm preaching against social media? That's not what I'm preaching today. I'm preaching for something. For what I would call the faithful use of social media as children of the light. Maybe I could write a book about it. What I want both from us, so something from you, that's law, and something for you, that's gospel, as the people of the light, is to be freed from feeling like we have to clothe ourselves in the costumes of what the world tells us is important. Right? You feel like you have to go to social media and put on that best image of yourself. I want us to be freed from the notion that we have to appear to be perfect and have life figured out. Who has life figured out? Anybody? Probably you, because you're in eighth grade. I want us to be freed to be exactly who we are. And this is who we are. This is who we are. We are a broken and sinful people that is trying to make our best way we can in a broken and sinful world. A people not made worthy by anything we have ever done or could possibly ever do. But a people clothed in righteousness in and through what Jesus Christ has done for us. This, I think, is how we are called to faithfully use social media. This is how we, the children of the light, in and through Jesus Christ, illumine the darkness of social media. But as you might expect me, a Lutheran pastor, to say, we are not alone in doing this, are we? Because it's not our work, is it? The Holy Spirit, as Martin Luther says, illumines us with the Spirit's gifts and brings us to Jesus Christ. And in doing so, I would add, clothes us in the breastplate of faith. It's the Spirit's doing. And through this faith, we are gifted. We are gifted a liberating grace that frees us to put on that breastplate of love. The Spirit puts on the faith, and then we can put on the love. Luther further tells us that putting on love looks like putting on the neighbor. I know that sounds weird, doesn't it? Putting on the neighbor, clothing ourselves in the neighbor. He says Christ has put on us and acted for us as if he had been what we are. So Christ clothed himself in us. Christ made himself into what we are. So my summary, as Luther continues, is this. Christ's goodness flows to us, and if we now have Christ's goodness in us, if we have Christ's goodness in us, we clothe ourselves in the neighbor like Christ clothed himself in us. Christ's goodness will then flow from us to our neighbor. Not veiling our light in a social media persona, no. Clothing ourselves in the neighbor. And through this, we will be illumined by Christ. We are already illumined by Christ. They will be illumined by Christ through us. Because as we know, a light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let me repeat that. From John's Gospel of the Incarnation, a light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And Jesus Christ is that light. Jesus Christ illumines us, and we are called to illumine the darkness by putting on our neighbor and illumining them through Jesus Christ. This, I think, is what it means to clothe ourselves in love, especially while on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever the social media platform is. The Thessalonian believers, they didn't know Facebook, though. But we, like them, we wait for Christ to return. So clothe yourselves in the helmet of hope, of the hope of salvation as you wait, says Paul to these Thessalonians. And he says it to us. And he continues, for God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. So that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we may live with him. Now, did you catch that? whether we are awake or whether we are asleep. My former professor, Christopher Van Kaufman, wrote about this, and I will just read to you what he wrote because it is beautifully written. With one metaphor, waking and sleeping, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy bring together both the need for vigilance in waiting for Jesus' return and the power of Jesus to overcome the believer's lack of vigilance. Jesus does both of these things. Who, after all, could be more asleep and less vigilant than someone who has died? By tying these concepts together in one metaphor, they put each concern in its proper place. And here's where the payoff is. The Christian life should be marked by wakefulness, but in the end, faith in Jesus Christ rescues even those who have fallen asleep. Wow. My siblings in Christ, we are going to fail. We are going to fail. I'm not asking for perfection from you. Of course not. When we fail, though, when we sin, when we are imperfect, when we clothe ourselves in a less than faithful social media persona and therefore cast darkness onto our neighbor instead of clothing ourselves in our neighbor and allowing them to experience the loving presence of and light of Christ in and through us. When we do that, even then, we are children of the light. We remain beloved children of God, and nothing changes that. My siblings in Christ, this is the good news. This is the payoff of this book, 1 Thessalonians, both for the Thessalonian believers, for us, and for generations to come, should they be also waiting for Christ to return. Because even though the call is to stay awake, we will fall asleep in this life, and we will inevitably fall asleep. But it is our faith in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that rescues us from our slumber, both now and in the kingdom that we know is to come. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Oh,
ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
Life everlasting. Amen. Let us turn our hearts to God, our breath of life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need.
Gracious God, you give talents and gifts to all your people, and you equip the church to serve. Turn us from the mindset of fear and scarcity that leads to the bearing of many gifts. Instead, open our hearts and minds that through your work in us, our talents are used to glorify you and encourage our neighbor, and that your will, not ours, in our communities, in this, in the churches of our partnership, in the church universal, and in the world may be done. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You call us to honesty and integrity. Instill these values in the hearts of all nations and their leaders. And may the following leaders use their power and influence to bring peace to theirs and all nations. Joe Biden, Benjamin Netanyahu, Volodymyr Zelensky, Vladimir Putin, Mahmoud Abbas, Antonio Guterres, and Xi Jinping. Free any who are oppressed, expose all corruption, and bring redemption to the victims of injustice. We pray especially for the tentative agreement that is in place between Hamas and Israel, that it may be sustained. Hear us, O God.
You have been our dwelling place from one generation to another. Sustain the life of the planet, protect farmlands and harvests. As Ohio fields are harvested, tilled, and prepared for the winter Sabbath, may their bounty bless the farmers who steward them on your behalf and all who rely on the fruits of these fields for sustenance. May these farmers teach us what it means to be stewards of the land and the natural world around us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Where there is sickness or sorrow, bring healing, and where there is loneliness, reveal your love and community. We remember before you this day, Marty, Mike, Marianne, Evelyn, Bobby, Mary, Michael, Dwayne, Caleb, Nancy, Jim, Karen, and Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Oh God, we pray that you will end all war and violence, and we continue to pray that civilians in all war-torn lands be protected, especially in Gaza, Israel, Lebanon, Ukraine, Sudan, and Syria. We pray for the safe return of hostages held by Hamas. We pray that refugees will be able to return to their homes and lives and that they receive the aid needed to do so. We pray for the work of relief organizations such as Lutheran World Relief and Lutheran Disaster Response, that our contributions help with the pain, suffering, and fear. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the faith formation ministries of our church. Give to all who study your word the best breastplate of faith and love. Shape us by your love and show us how to encourage one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, let all God's people say, Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. At this time, we will continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. God of all goodness, generations have turned to you, gathered around your table, and shared your abundant blessings. Number us among them that, as we gather these gifts from your abundance and give thanks for your rich blessings, we may feast upon your very self and care for all that you have made, through Jesus Christ, our sovereign and servant.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. There is a place for you and for everyone at this banquet table. Come and feast at Jesus' table. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this simple meal, you have set a banquet. Sustain us on the journey. Strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children. And give us glad and generous hearts as we meet on the way. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for some announcements. I will try to make these as quick as I can, but I always fail. So, in order of relevance, importance, and whatnot, today, if you are on the music and worship, or worship and music, however we put that, please hang out, and we will be meeting in the back, office or whatever. So we will plan, hopefully, through Christmas. That's my hope. All right. This week's Thanksgiving. It's kind of hard to believe, but we will have a CCLP Thanksgiving service on the eve of Thanksgiving on Wednesday at St. John's in Leesville at 7 p.m. The address is listed in your bulletin. On Friday, we will be having a Friendsgiving dinner. All right, Friendsgiving dinner. It is going to be 4 to 6 p.m., is that right? Here's what I need from you. As I blasted social media today, we're going to post this on our Facebook page, and then I'm going to ask you to go use social media as children of the light and share it. And share this event with others. Also, as children of the light, we're asking if you want to help with the Friendsgiving dinner. There's a sign-up sheet. It will be on the table. There's also food for you to bring. Is that right? These will both be on the table. Lots of empties. I know we just got it out there, but I'm sure you will all fill it up before you go home. All right. We are decorating the sanctuary next Sunday. If you really like Domino's Pizza and you really like free Domino's Pizza, stay and help with that. All right. And with Christmas coming up, poinsettia order forms are also on the table. The deadline for those is the 4th of December. And there are a ton of events coming up over the next month. Teresa made this handy-dandy little schedule. It is on the table. Feel free to grab one. So thank you to Teresa for that, and please make use of that. I'm getting installed on December 12th, and there's lots of other stuff in here. Christmas tree back there with lots of tags. We got a big family this year. Please consider that. Please consider donating socks, toothpaste, toothbrushes into the green bin there. It explains why in your bulletin. Did I miss anything? Please tell me I didn't. With that, hear this blessing. Please stand as you're able to do so. May the God of all creation, in whose image we were made, who claims us and who calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, who made us children of the light, give you reason to rejoice and reason to be glad. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, activate. Beloved of God, as we wait for Christ's return, we are called to make good use of the gifts God has provided. So go in peace and serve the poor.
Thanks.